Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello from VOA Learning English, and welcome to As It Is, a free, daily 30-minute program designed to help you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz at the Voice of America in Washington. It's Saturday, December 19th, 2015. It was on this day in 1986 that the then leader of what was the Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev, released Andrei Sakharov and his wife from exile in Gorky. On this day in 1998, President Bill Clinton was impeached by the United States House of Representatives. He is only the second American president to be impeached. He was tried in the Senate but not convicted, and remained in office until the end of his second term. Today on the program, we report that only about a third of the 650,000 school-aged Syrian refugee children in Turkey are attending school. And we will tell you why 10,000 refugees are trapped in Hong Kong. Then, as we always do on Saturdays, we will bring you In the News. This week, I'll report on the final Republican presidential debate of the year. Businessman Donald Trump and former Florida Governor Jeb Bush argued during the debate a lot. And finally, as we also do every Saturday, we will present American stories. This week, we bring you a special Christmas story, The Gift of the Magi. So you can see, we have a lot for you today. Every day here on As It Is, we bring you news from and about America and the world. We're a little different here at VOA Learning English. Because we exist to help you learn everyday American English, we speak a little slower than normal, and we use words that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the Voice of America. There are about 650,000 school-aged Syrian refugee children in Turkey. Government officials estimate that only about one-third of them are going to school. Dan Friedel reports.
Educating the refugee children is an enormous task. One U.S. official says that a huge school system like the one in New York City would be overwhelmed. Human Rights Watch says that if the students do not receive a quality education, they would be in danger of being exploited in dangerous and low-paying jobs in the future. The United States says it is working with the United Nations to help bridge the education gap for refugee children. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says the children in Turkey need to start school soon. Without school, the effects will be negative and long-lasting. It would be the same as if the three largest public school systems in the U.S., New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles, closed. The United States provided Turkey with aid for education earlier. In December, it offered an additional $24 million. Human Rights Watch says a quality education will ensure a more stable future for these children. The organization says about 90% of children in refugee camps run by the Turkish government attend school. But most of the children living outside of those camps are not receiving education. UNICEF says the goal is to get twice as many Syrian children into school in Turkey by June 2016. The Syrian American Council says it is important to focus on school-aged children today. They will be the future leaders of Syria if they return home after the war. I'm Dan Friedel.
There are more than 10,000 refugees seeking asylum in Hong Kong, but most are trapped in a legal limbo. Mario Ritter explains.
Hong Kong is not bound to the 1951 Refugee Convention. That treaty established refugee rights and the responsibilities of nations that grant asylum. But Hong Kong is bound to the Convention Against Torture. That convention is an international treaty saying Hong Kong cannot expel people at risk of torture. Because of the conventions, refugee claims can take years to decide. The odds of winning asylum in Hong Kong are low. Since 1992, Hong Kong has given 31 people protection status. Today's Hong Kong refugees are mostly from India, Vietnam, Indonesia, and Africa. They live in poverty on animal farms and slums. They still don't have any legal status here in Hong Kong, Victoria Wisniewski Otero, a refugee advocate, said. Technically, they are treated as illegal overstayers. They have no right to work. They have no income. The low number of those receiving protection status creates other problems. Hong Kong media reported that an international black market racket produced false asylum claims. The claims were made as cover for illegal workers to fill labor shortages throughout Hong Kong. I'm Mario Ritter.
Now, it's time for In the News, our report on a major story of the past week. Nine top Republican presidential candidates focused on terrorism and national security this week in a televised debate. Protesters at the hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, where the debate took place, said the candidates should pay attention to immigration reform, increasing wages, providing jobs, and ending police abuses. During the debate, businessman Donald Trump defended his plan to ban Muslims from entering the United States, even Muslims who are American citizens. He said his plan would increase national security. He said it is not an attack on Islam, the Muslim religion. He said, "People like what I say. People respect what I say. And we've opened up a very big discussion that needed to be opened up." Many Republican leaders have criticized Trump's plan, but during the debate, most candidates did not attack it. Jeb Bush is the brother and son of former U.S. presidents. He was once considered the leading Republican presidential candidate, but he has not received much support from possible voters. Bush criticized Trump's approach to politics. "Trump is a chaos candidate, and he'd be a chaos president," Bush said. Bush and Trump argued many times during the debate. Bush told Trump, "You're never going to be president of the United States by insulting your way to the presidency." But Trump noted a public opinion study showing 42% of those asked supported him. He said Bush had just 3% support. Bush criticized Trump for admitting he learns about the military from watching television shows. He asked if Trump was getting information from Sunday morning news shows or Saturday morning cartoon programs. Some experts say Trump has not performed well in the 5 Republican presidential debates, but he has much more public support than any other Republican candidate. Some Republican Party leaders are worried that Trump will win the nomination. They also worry that if he does not win the nomination, he will announce a campaign as an independent. That might take away votes from the Republican nominee, giving strength to the Democratic Party's nominee. During the debate, Trump promised he would not run as an independent. In September, Trump told reporters he would not be an independent candidate. But in the months after that press conference, he seemed to change his mind. He said he might run a third-party campaign if he does not believe he is treated fairly by other Republicans. The other candidates in the debate were Carly Fiorina, the former head of the Hewlett-Packard Computer Company, John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, Ben Carson, a retired brain surgeon, Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, and Rand Paul, a U.S. senator from Kentucky. The debate was shown on CNN television. It happened less than 2 months before the Iowa caucuses. The caucuses are the first place voters can say which candidate they support. Now, a special Christmas story. The Gift of the Magi by O. Henry. Here is Shep O'Neill.
$1.87, that was all. And 60 cents of it in the smallest pieces of money, pennies. Pennies saved one and two at a time by negotiating with the men at the market who sold vegetables and meat. Negotiating until one's face burned with the silent knowledge of being poor. 3 times, Della counted it, $1.87. And the next day would be Christmas. There was clearly nothing to do but sit down and cry, so Della cried, which led to the thought that life is made up of little cries and smiles, with more little cries than smiles. Della finished her crying and dried her face. She stood by the window and looked out, unhappily, at a gray cat walking along a gray fence in a gray backyard. Tomorrow would be Christmas Day, and she had only $1.87 to buy her husband Jim a gift. She had been saving every penny she could for months, with this result. Jim earned $20 a week, which does not go far. Expenses had been greater than she had expected. They always are. Many a happy hour she had spent planning to buy something nice for him, something fine and rare, something close to being worthy of the honor of belonging to Jim. There was a tall glass mirror between the windows of the room. Suddenly, Della turned from the window and stood before the glass mirror and looked at herself. Her eyes were shining, but her face had lost its color within 20 seconds. Quickly, she pulled down her hair and let it fall to its full length. Now, Mr. and Mrs. James Dillingham Young had 2 possessions which they valued. One was Jim's gold timepiece, the watch that had been his father's and his grandfather's. The other was Della's hair. Had the Queen of Sheba lived in their building, Della would have let her hair hang out the window to dry, just to reduce the value of the Queen's jewels. So now Della's beautiful hair fell about her, shining like a brown waterfall. It reached below her knees and made itself almost like a covering for her. And then quickly she put it up again. She stood still while a few tears fell on the floor. She put on her coat and her old brown hat. With a quick motion and brightness still in her eyes, she danced out the door and down the street. Where she stopped, the sign read, Madame Sofronie, hair goods of all kinds. Della ran up the steps to the shop, out of breath. "Will you buy my hair?" asked Della. "I buy hair," said Madame. "Take your hat off, and let us have a look at it." Down came the beautiful brown waterfall of hair. $20, said Madame, lifting the hair with an experienced hand. "Give it to me quick," said Della. The next 2 hours went by as if they had wings. Della looked in all the stores to choose a gift for Jim. She found it at last. It surely had been made for Jim and no one else. It was a chain, simple round rings of silver. It was perfect for Jim's gold watch. As soon as she saw it, she knew that it must be for him. It was like him, quiet, and with great value. She gave the shopkeeper $21, and she hurried home with the 87 cents that was left. When Della arrived home, she began to repair what was left of her hair. The hair had been ruined by her love and her desire to give a special gift. Repairing the damage was a very big job. Within 40 minutes, her head was covered with tiny round curls of hair that made her look wonderfully like a schoolboy. She looked at herself in the glass mirror long and carefully. "If Jim does not kill me before he takes a second look at me," she said to herself, "he'll say I look like a song girl. But what could I do, oh, what could I do with $1.87? At 7 o'clock that night, the coffee was made, and the pan on the back of the stove was hot and ready to cook the meat. Jim was never late coming home from work. Della held the silver chain in her hand and sat near the door. Then she heard his step, and she turned white for just a minute. She had a way of saying a little silent prayer about the simplest everyday things. And now she whispered, "Please, God, make him think I am still pretty." The door opened and Jim stepped in. He looked thin and very serious. Poor man, he was only 22, and he had to care for a wife. He needed a new coat and gloves to keep his hands warm. Jim stopped inside the door, as immovable as a dog smelling a bird. His eyes were fixed upon Della. There was an expression in them that she could not read, and it frightened her. It was not anger, nor surprise, nor fear, nor any of the feelings that she had been prepared for. He simply looked at her, with a strange expression on his face. Della went to him. "Jim, my love," she cried, "do not look at me that way. I had my hair cut and sold because I could not have lived through Christmas without giving you a gift. My hair will grow out again. I just had to do it. My hair grows very fast. Say Merry Christmas, Jim, and let us be happy. You do not know what a beautiful, nice gift I have for you." "You have cut off your hair?" asked Jim, slowly, as if he had not accepted the information, even after his mind worked very hard. "Cut it off and sold it," said Della. "Do you not like me just as well? I am the same person without my hair, right?" Jim looked about the room as if he were looking for something. "You say your hair is gone?" he asked. "You need not look for it," said Della. "It is sold, I tell you, sold and gone, too. It is Christmas Eve, boy. Be good to me, for it was cut for you. Maybe the hairs of my head were numbered," she went on with sudden serious sweetness, "but nobody could ever count my love for you. Shall I put the meat on, Jim?" Jim seemed to awaken quickly and put his arms around Della. Then he took a package from his coat and threw it on the table. "Do not make any mistake about me, Del," he said. "I do not think there is any haircut that could make me like my girl any less. But if you will open that package, you may see why you had me frightened at first." White fingers quickly tore at the string and paper. There was a scream of joy, and then Alas, a change to tears and cries, requiring the man of the house to use all his skill to calm his wife. For there were the combs, the special set of objects to hold her hair that Della had wanted ever since she saw them in a shop window. Beautiful combs, made of shells, with jewels at the edge, just the color to wear in the beautiful hair that was no longer hers. They cost a lot of money, she knew, and her heart had wanted them without ever hoping to have them. And now the beautiful combs were hers, but the hair that should have touched them was gone. But she held the combs to herself, and soon she was able to look up with a smile and say, "My hair grows so fast, Jim." Then Della jumped up like a little burned cat and cried, "Oh, oh!" Jim had not yet seen his beautiful gift. She happily held it out to him in her open hands. The silver chain seemed so bright. "Isn't it wonderful, Jim? I looked all over town to find it. You will have to look at the time 100 times a day now. Give me your watch. I want to see how it looks on it." Instead of obeying, Jim fell on the couch and put his hands under the back of his head and smiled. "Dell," said he, "let us put our Christmas gifts away and keep them a while. They are too nice to use just right now. I sold my gold watch to get the money to buy the set of combs for your hair. And now, why not put the meat on?" The Magi were wise men, wonderfully wise men, who brought gifts to the baby Jesus. They invented the art of giving Christmas gifts. Being wise, their gifts were wise ones. And here I have told you the story of two young people who most unwisely gave for each other the greatest treasures of their house. But in a last word to the wise of these days, let it be said that of all who give gifts, these two were the wisest. Everywhere they are wisest. They are the Magi.
You have been listening to the American story, The Gift of the Magi. It was written by O. Henry and adapted into VOA Learning English by Karen Leggett. Your storyteller was Shep O'Neill. The producer was Lawan Davis, and we thank them all. That's our program for today. We hope it has informed and entertained you and has helped you learn everyday American English. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is learningenglish@voanews.com. And please know this, we do read every message you send us. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz, reporting from the VOA Learning English headquarters in Washington. I'll be back tomorrow with another broadcast, webcast, and podcast edition of As It Is from the Voice of America.